I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of HBCU Play. Sam and Larisha here in Atlanta. And right now we want to welcome in for Straight from the Source, a very, very, very special guest and someone who's, been a long time a part of athletics. First of all, as a student athlete, and now as the athletic directors at Morehouse College, Andre Petillo, welcome to the studio, and welcome to HBCU Play.
Sam Crenshaw, I am glad to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about your company, but I'm glad to be here.
Larisha,
we're really starting this right now. I can't believe we're starting this. Why are we starting off on the wrong foot, Mr. Petillo?
I'm on the right foot. You might be on the wrong foot.
We have Mr. Petillo in the studio with us today because his tenure as athletic director at his alma mater, Morehouse College, is coming to an end, and he will retire at the end of June. And I just figured, you know, he's accomplished so much and in so many ways there. We just want you to come over and spend some time with us. And you know, when you entered Morehouse as a student athlete, did you ever dream that, you know, these years later you would still be there in this capacity?
Sam, my journey has been really a special journey. I'm somewhat embarrassed to even tell people that. While I was here in Atlanta my entire life, I wasn't even really aware of Morehouse. You know, my father did a very good job of sheltering us to make sure that we did not have some of the negative experiences that African Americans was experiencing back in that time. So I grew up in Decatur and went to Decatur High School, which you know is predominantly white.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of ironic the way I even found out about Morehouse, because my brother Bernard, who was very instrumental in my life, my senior year in high school, developed a baseball team in which he compiled student athletes from all over the city. And at that time, you know, we got some guys from Northside High School, Murphy High School, and we met in a park and we started playing baseball. And that team itself was the team that actually went to Morehouse my freshman year. And basically that's how I ended up at Morehouse. Didn't know anything about Morehouse. And it's just that we were together as a team and we all decided we were gonna go to college together, and Morehouse College just happened to be the choice. And I just lucked out on making a good choice and choosing an institution that has the type of history and reputation that it has. And I'm forever grateful that I did so.
So how did you wind up not only playing baseball, but on the football field as well?
That's a long story as well, because I went to Morehouse. Again, I was very small, not the size I am now. I was only 5'5", 130 pounds. And my friends that went to Morehouse to play football, so I wanted to be with my friends, so I called myself wanting to be a student trainer or manager with the football team. And while I was in practice in high school, I used to punt. And I was a fairly good punter, but it was a natural ability. And I was punting the ball and punting the ball and punting the ball. And, you know, the players start recognizing the fact that I was punting. The coaches start recognizing the fact that I was punting. And then the football coach said, well, we want you to join the football team. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And my primary reason at the time for not joining the team was because there was a ritual that all freshmen had to cut all their hair off and they had to be bald headed. And at that time, my pride was I had an Angela Davis bush. And I was not going to cut my hair. So, you know, the coach said it was okay. I didn't have to cut my hair. So that's how I ended up joining the football team. And yeah, as a punter, and I did very well as a punter, but because I had speed, they decided to convert me to a receiver as well. And so my sophomore year, I came in as a freshman 130. My sophomore year, I came back 157.
Wow. Put that work in, huh?
I had to. Yeah. If not, I was going to get beat up pretty bad.
Spending time on HBCU Play, a very special guest this week is Andre Petillo, a long time involved with Morehouse College as a student athlete and as athletic director. stepping down from that post end of this month, and he's spending some time with us here in the studio. Talk about your position and what you've been able to do in the year 2000. You've been athletic director there, but for a while there, you were baseball coach as well.
Well, just to give you a brief history about my tenure through Morehouse, I went in 79 as an assistant football coach. I coached football for 7 years, making $800 a year.
What?
$800 a year as assistant football coach. And
wow.
I moved into the admissions office in 1985 as an admissions counselor. Primarily, my responsibility was to recruit. And it worked quite well because that's the exact same time that I was actually hired by the SEC as an NCAA basketball official. So with the SEC hiring me as an NCAA basketball official and Morehouse hiring me as a recruiter, it gave me an opportunity to go places that Morehouse typically would not go into.
Yeah.
Imagine at that particular time going into Oxford, Mississippi, and to see a black man dressed in a shirt and tie going into the high schools was not something they normally saw in Oxford, Mississippi. So when I had a chance to go to the schools in the SEC and referee basketball, it also gave me an opportunity to recruit student athletes. But my tenure at Morehouse in admissions, I was an admissions counselor. I moved from admissions counselor to assistant director to associate director in 1996. I became the director of admissions at Morehouse. So Morehouse has been fairly good to me.
Yeah, yeah, tremendous, tremendous. And you have been giving yourself there because you have gone back and given back to the student athletes who come through that time. And has there been one single thing you tried to impart to most of them as they've come through Morehouse?
You know, Sam, it's not anything in particular other than the fact that I wanted to make sure, if it was in my powers, to make sure that those young men received the same opportunity that I did. So it was not any one thing in particular that I wanted to do while I was there. Obviously, I wanted to make the program as competitive as possible. I think we've been successful in doing that, but the pride that I get is not helping the young men that are the gifted, the ones that are expected to perform, expected to have everything. It's those young men that are reaching out for an opportunity. And that's why I got most of my pride and most of my joy is giving a kid and a young man an opportunity to attend Morehouse, to participate at Morehouse, and at the same time make sure that he has the tools and things that he needs to be successful at Morehouse so that he would be successful after he leaves Morehouse.
In 2000, you transitioned into the director of athletics.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to know how did you balance all of what you do and did? Because, like you said, you were an official for SEC basketball and stuff. You, director of athletics, that pertains a lot within itself. How did you balance all of this?
I don't have the magical answer to that question. The most difficult time for me in terms of attempting to balance my time was probably in 2002 and 3, which is my pride and joy was baseball. When I took over athletics in 2000, Morehouse did not have baseball. Now, obviously, I had a motive to try and get baseball. So in order to start baseball, we had a problem with our soccer program, which we discontinued, and that gave me a prime opportunity to start baseball. However, the resources and the budgets and the material and not having a baseball field, it made it very challenging. But I utilized my relationships with schools in the SEC while I was officiating to go out and get equipment. Mississippi State, being that they're the same color as Morehouse, gave me everything I needed to start a baseball program with equipment. One of the other issues is that we didn't have a place to play. My brother was director of Parks and Recreation with the City of Atlanta. And they gave us an opportunity to use Perkinson Park for a place to play. Secondly, I had to get a coach. And my brother offered to coach the baseball team, but because he was my brother, Morehouse said that nepotism could not take place. So I had to coach baseball. I was director of athletics, and I was trying to continue to officiate in the SEC. How I did it, I don't know, but I did it, and I'm glad I did. I got it started. Prior to me leaving the baseball program, I was actually voted Coach of the Year in one of those years before I was able to turn the baseball team over to a gentleman by the name of Robert Mitchell. It was tough. I can't tell you how I did it. I just did it.
Wow. Well, I'm amazed because That's a lot. It really is a lot. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Patillo. He's a special guest of ours in the studio. We have to take a really quick break, but when we return, we will continue our conversation, dive a little deeper into his history, his legacy, and his retirement coming up at the end of June. So stay tuned. More HBCU Play on the way. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of HBCU Play. Time to get into the segment we like to call the playbook. We're just going to continue with our special in-studio guest, Andre Patillo, who is leaving his post as athletic director at Morehouse College at the end of the month of June after spending, I might guess, over almost 40 years involved at the university at Morehouse College. Before we left, we talked about you starting baseball up and bringing it back. Early in our program, we talked about Winston-Salem State and the fact that they're having to let their baseball program go and disband, a program that has won 30 games every year. They won 35 games this year. Tell us about HBCUs and that sport and just getting support for the sports at HBCUs. What are the challenges and what do you see as a future, maybe some solutions?
I don't really know the solutions, but I know that the challenges is just about money. You know, a lot of decisions are having to be made in athletics based on what you're putting out and what you're getting in. And as you know, baseball is a non-revenue drawing sport. It takes quite a few resources in order for you to participate in baseball. And I think that's solely the reason why the sport is being dropped. I'm almost certain that one of our schools in the AU Center that has baseball, there was some discussion as to whether or not they were going to drop baseball. Now, one of the reasons why they were talking about it, and I can't, you know, I don't know if I'm putting people's business out, but they're talking about bringing in another male sport. And you know the gender equity thing that goes on with the NCAA now, that if you bring on a male sport, you've got to bring on a female sport.
Right.
So that's one of the challenges. But I think baseball is going to be a challenge, especially in our community anyway. And I think it's all about economics. I think it's totally about economics. Most of the better baseball players, their parents are paying for them to play on traveling teams. And, you know, the opportunity for the young men in the community, it just don't exist there anymore. And I don't think Major League Baseball is going to put the money out that needs to be put out in order for the kids in the public sector to be able to play baseball, because it's just an expensive sport to play. The equipment is expensive. You know, the parents, it's just an expensive sport. But why are college dropping baseball? I can't say why Winston-Salem has dropped baseball, but I know of another school that's about to drop baseball as well, and it's strictly economics.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I recently wrote an article about what's to blame for the decrease in African Americans in the MLB. It's currently only 7% of African Americans in the MLB, and not even every team has an African American on the team. It's just shocking to know that a sport that was once so prominent within our community has decreased the way it has.
I agree with you, but being that I'm a baseball player myself, and at the time that I was playing baseball, there was 5 times more support back then for our kids in our communities to play baseball.
So what do you think the shift is then from then until now?
All I can say is it's resources and lack of thereof. Mm-hmm. If the city wants to provide the resources to fund inner city baseball, I guarantee you those kids will put those uniforms on, pick up those gloves, swing those bats, and throw those balls. But the parents can't afford it. And because baseball is an expensive sport to play, I just think that that's what has crippled our communities now. And mm-hmm. It's sad when you look at the major leagues. You don't have as many African Americans in the major leagues playing baseball. When you see a skin of color, normally in baseball, it's Dominican, Puerto Rican, someone from the other countries that are mm-hmm. playing. And even those guys are playing because they literally play for nothing. Until they sign a major league contract, you would be absolutely surprised. I played minor league baseball, and I had a small contract when I played with the Atlanta Braves. But most of the players that were on the team that I was on, they weren't making anything. Most of their money was going to taxes. So they were barely able to go to the store and just buy refreshments. So, you know, I think the whole thing is about economics. in terms of who's playing baseball, how they're playing baseball, and if they're going to be able to play baseball.
Yeah. Spending some time on HBCU play, in-studio guest Andre Patillo, athletic director at Morehouse College, and also highly decorated college basketball official. Got to talk to you a little bit about officiating. What made you do it? And when you think about today, I can't think of any group of people collectively who are more higher scrutinized than officials, umpires, anybody. It seems like there's this big distrust of officiating. How do you see it now, and what made you decide to get into it?
Well, that's another long story again. As a student athlete at Morehouse, I felt like I was a fairly good athlete, but I was even knowledgeable enough to know at that time that I'm getting older. I'm about to finish college. I love sports. I'm no longer going to be able to play college baseball, college football. Here again, I went back to my brother, Bernard, and I said, Bernard, I need to find something to do. He said, well, you need to start refereeing. I said, refereeing what? Well, football. I said, no, if it starts raining, I'm not going to stand in the rain and referee no football game. I can tell you that now. He said, well, you need to start refereeing. Try basketball. Now, I'm not a basketball player. I played everything except basketball. I played it on the recreational level with a guy named Carter Wilson. But I said, I'll try it. So I started trying basketball, and I found me a couple of guys that I patterned myself behind, Dr. Leroy Hambrick.
Okay.
Jimmy Askew was my idol, and I started officiating basketball. And here again, I think where I got my start, it was the timing. You know, timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was a pretty decent basketball official. Didn't know where I was going. I was doing it for the fun of it. I just loved the challenge. And I started going to summer camps. And then came along, I'm sure you remember, there was a group that started criticizing the NCAA that all of the players are black, all of the coaches are white, all the officials are white. So there was a push to start finding minority officials. And I had a person by the name of John Guthrie, who I consider to be my father, who actually took me under his wing and started training me, and he became the supervisor of officials for the Southeastern Conference, and he gave me an opportunity. I believe that I got the opportunity because I did have a skill set, but because I was a minority, that helped me along the way. And by the grace of God and just the tutelage that I had and the people that were surrounding me, I became a successful basketball official. But that was my journey. I didn't know what I wanted to do once I finished playing ball. My brother talked me into being an official, and someone looked at me and recognized and thought that I could be a decent official, and I got the opportunity, and I took advantage of it.
Not just officiating, but officiating at its highest level. To the Final Four 6 times. And talk about what you have to do to get to even be considered for that event, because a lot of people had a skunk eye at those guys for that missed call in that Auburn game this year. and those guys had to do some things in order to get there to call that game.
Wait, don't forget the 8 SEC championship games, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, I just consider myself to be fortunate. Yeah, you know, I don't like to talk about whether I was good or whether I was bad or whether I was better than anybody else, but the people that were in charge thought enough of me to put me in the position to officiate the games, and by the grace of God, I was able to handle it, and I have a pretty good reputation. I actually stopped officiating in 2004, really before I really wanted to, but I had problems with my knee, and the money back then was very good, only a third of what they're getting today.
Wow.
You know, my largest check in officiating back then may have been $1,800 for a game, but the guys that you're seeing officiating now, every night you see an SEC, ACC, Big East basketball official, each guy on that floor is getting $3,400 a piece.
And you had what again for one game?
My highest check was $1,800 before I ended my career in
2004. $1,800 for one game.
But you also have to tie in there some expenses, travel, hotel, food, you know, all those things.
You still coming out with a nice little piece of change?
I am not complaining, my dear. By no means. I am not complaining at all. Yes, I was lucky. I was fortunate. And even back then when I went to camp, there may be 75 officials in camp trying to progress toward that level. It may have been three blacks. Now, if you go to camp and it's 75 officials, 40 of them are black. Still, I think that whether or not the best is being chosen, politics plays in everything, and I still think there's somewhat of a limit of how many minorities are going to be given the opportunity. Anytime you're talking about some economical growth, you know, there's some wiggle room in there in terms of who's going to get that chance.
What do you say to people who are entering into it now? Because you don't enter in at the collegiate level. You enter in at the youth, the rec center, middle school level, and you're dealing with all kinds of stuff. First of all, parents who think their kid is going to be the next best thing.
Ooh,
and your
child.
Bad call is keeping those parents, keeping those kids from fulfilling their dream.
Ooh, child.
How do you get some people to get into it today considering those things?
Well, first of all, you've got to enter it for the right reason. You've got to start playing. You've got to start officiating because you enjoy it. You can't do it with the expectations that you're doing it because you're going to be at that particular level. It's funny because Coach Brewer and I, we talk every year. Coach Brewer have walk-on tryouts for basketball. We may have 50 young men that are coming in as incoming freshmen trying out for basketball because they were the best of where they came from. 1% may make the basketball team at Morehouse. That's at Morehouse.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about at Duke and North Carolina and all these other places. That's at Morehouse. Only 1% may make the team. And the same thing applies as officials. You know, you tried as an official. Only 1% of those guys are going to make it. And it's based on your ability. And there's very little room for error. I probably would not be successful today because of the technology that is being used. You know, every call you make is scrutinized. It's stopped. It's slowed down. It's a replay. And you have the ability to go to the table and just change the call.
Yeah.
That didn't exist when I officiated, thank God.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but we want you to stay for a few more minutes if you can. We just want to wrap things up with you, get your thoughts on the final moments of your career, so to say, at Morehouse as you prepare for retirement. Can you do that?
I guess.
You know what? Stay tuned. More HBCU Play on the way. We'll be back. Welcome back to HBCU Play, everyone. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And it's time for a segment we like to call The Kickoff. And we are going to just continue on with our conversation with the man who is mocking me right now, as you guys just heard.
That's right. Here we go.
Mr. Petillo, he is getting ready to wrap up his tenure at Morehouse. Over 40 years, I should say, at that institution, just doing remarkable things. Started off as a student athlete, ending off as the director of athletics. So we know that for the past couple of years, Morehouse has been making an impact in their athletics. Basketball doing phenomenally well, being nationally ranked. Football doing well, doing good as well. What would you say are contributions, or what would you acknowledge from the way your athletics has been doing?
Well, needless to say, I am extremely proud of the success of the athletic program at Morehouse. We have a legendary Coach Hill. I don't know what he's going to do when he goes off into the sunset, but he's been there now for 30 years as the track coach, and he's won the championship more than half of those years since he's been there. But this, as you stated, was a phenomenal year for athletics at Morehouse. I'm extremely proud of my student athletes and the coaches that supervise those young men. They've represented the school well. I'm going to miss them. But I feel very good about where we are in athletics at Morehouse, and I feel like I've left them in pretty good shape. So what can I say? The next person coming in, all he has to do is maintain, and things will be stellar.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
That's what we really want to know. What are you going to do when you step away in June?
I don't expect them to step away too far, but go ahead, tell us what you...
What am I going to do? I don't know. I really don't know. I just think right now is just a good time. As I stated to you, when I was officiating basketball, I started having problems with my knee. I felt like I was on top of the game, and I felt like that was the best way for me to walk away while I was on top. I feel like Morehouse College's athletic program is in great shape right now. We're winning championships. The championships we're not winning, we're falling in second place. We've given our student athletes at Morehouse an opportunity to participate. And that's what I get most joy out of, is giving those young men that are paying the money to participate in athletics at Morehouse to come to Morehouse, get a quality education, do something that they enjoy doing while they're matriculating at Morehouse. And once they're done, they can go off into the sunset and fulfill their professional careers based on the degrees that they achieve. We have a young man right now, Javaro, who played baseball at Morehouse. He's a big entrepreneur. He has concession stands in the Atlanta airport, Dallas airport, Los Angeles airport, New York airport.
Yeah.
He's very, very fun with giving money back to Morehouse and his athletic program. So, you know, what does me well, again, is giving these young men an opportunity to do things that they enjoy doing. It's not about me. I don't think you will ever hear anyone say that it's been about Andre Petillo. It's just that I feel like I am living my life through these young men, because how I ended up at Morehouse, I don't want to go through that. But I am so ever grateful for the experience that I had at Morehouse. And if it was not for Morehouse, Andre Petillo probably would not be Andre Petillo today, probably would not have had the opportunity to do some of the things that I've done today, probably would not have had an opportunity to meet some of the people that I've met today. And that's what Morehouse does. And that's what I'm trying to do right now as an administrator at that institution, is to give these young men the best experience that they can have as a student athlete at Morehouse while they're matriculating. I tell young men all the time that the most important years of your lives is the 4 years that you matriculate at your undergraduate institution. Because after those 4 years, it's going to determine what you're going to do for the rest of your life. So let's make sure that we take advantage of the opportunity that you have. And if participating in athletics is going to balance what you need in order for you to be successful as an individual, I just tried to make sure that they had the best experience possible while they were at Morehouse and participating in athletics.
Yeah.
That answer right there lets you know he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay and be a part of this.
And she hasn't
longer.
Taken her medication. So she is not responsible for what she's saying. So
I'm
forgive
just
her
saying.
For not what she say, but what she do.
I'm yep. just saying, because he talked about, you know, what he's leaving behind, but he has yet to tell us what he's going to do.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think, Larisha, I think through what he's saying, though, he's planted a lot of seeds during the time. I think he's just going to visit and check in on some of those seeds and see how they've grown and flourished, and I think in that way, and I think that's, to me, that's, I think, something else. You don't look for those things, but when you pour something into people, then you see it come back to you and do great things, and I think that's what he looks forward to enjoying. So
I know, I'm just bothering him.
Yeah.
Just bothering him.
Nobody's paying you no attention.
Yeah.
You see how he's been doing me this whole
we
time.
We thank you for coming in and spending some time and sharing with us. You and I go back quite a few years, and it's heartfelt for me. I'm really proud of you, what you've done. And thank you for allowing me to get to know you and be a friend over the years, and always being open to me whenever I want to come and do an interview with you or anything, knowing I can always call on you. So I want to thank you for coming and being part of HBCU Play with myself and Miss Harris over here.
Well, Sam, I would like to tell you I appreciate everything that you've done for me, and I pity you for having to put up with Miss Harris.
Wait a minute now.
You have been instrumental in my journey as well, because, you know, at one time we had a very difficult time getting a coverage in the Atlanta University Center and at Morehouse. And despite your media position, wherever you've been, you've always, you know, come over to Morehouse and you've always covered our sports and you've always given the young men the exposure that they deserve. So I appreciate everything you've done as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.